We have a lesson this morning under consideration that I've entitled the Cain Principle. And I've come up with a lot of these little lessons I like to tag with the word principle at the end. I had the Moses Principle. I think I've done Shimei. I had the 100-100 Principle. The idea behind these lessons is that sometimes there are some things that we can glean out of the Scriptures that may not be a direct command that you should do this or you should not do this. But if you look at the story, and you take it in its context, and you think about what it's saying, we can really learn some lessons and some principles that first of all should be applied in our Christian life and in the way we act in the church. But they're just lessons for life. They're just lessons for dealing with people in the world in different types of relationships. And this is an example of such a lesson. So subtitled, How Do People Respond to Correction? And that's what I've entitled the Cain Principle. Because I hate to break it to you, we're not perfect. Not a one of us is perfect. And because of the fact that we're not perfect, we're going to get corrected from time to time. And I'm going to go ahead and make an assumption here. And if you disagree, I guess you can raise your hand and tell me I'm wrong. But I don't know of anyone that likes to be corrected. I don't know of anyone that likes to get called into the boss's office and get told what they're doing wrong. I don't know of anybody that relishes the fact of getting yelled at by somebody for doing something wrong. I don't know of a single person in the world, Casey can attest to this, that likes to see those lights flashing behind you as we get pulled over on the way to church one night and be corrected for going too fast in the speed limit. I don't know of anybody that enjoys getting that little piece of paper that's got your information and your ticket on it of how much you're going to have to pay for your speeding offense. I don't know of anyone that likes to be corrected, but we're going to get corrected because we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that are wrong, and there's going to come times that we're going to have to deal with someone telling us that we are wrong. And the question is, how do we respond to correction? So for our text, I'll turn back to Genesis, the 4th chapter. We've been studying this month the idea of Cain and Abel and the situation that surrounded this tragedy, this horrible tragedy back in the early days of creation. Genesis chapter 4, we'll read verses 6 through 7. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." The Lord says to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why are you so upset? If you had done right, everything would take care of itself. But you didn't. And so we have to fix it. Because if not, sin is going to overcome you, and you are going to have to, you need to be ruling over sin other than the other way around." That's not quite how Cain took it. And so we're going to try to learn a little bit as we compare. We have righteous Abel, and then we have Cain. He didn't have an adjective to go with him. So righteous Abel is set in contrast to Cain the murderer. Boy, what a difficult life he must have had to live with. So we're going to talk about this concept for a little while this morning. It's not a long lesson, but I think it's something that'll make us think because it's something we can address in every aspect of our life, starting with the church. But then we're going to take it to all aspects of our daily life. How do we deal with people when they correct us? How do we deal with criticism? Because it's something that we're all going to face in our lives. Before we go further, though, let's take opportunity to go to God in the Word of prayer. Let's talk about the Cain Principle. Hebrews 11 and 4. The Bible reads, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he still being dead, still speaks." So there's an instance of Abel being referred to as righteous Abel. He's gotten to take that moniker with him, that adjective added to his name. Even the Lord Jesus said the same in Matthew 23 and 35, speaks of the blood of righteous Abel. Wouldn't that be a good way to be remembered? To have righteous Brian to be remembered after the time that I've passed. Wouldn't that be a great thing to be remembered by, to be righteous? So I have a question. What is it that made Abel righteous? What made Abel righteous? And by comparison, what made Cain unrighteous? And I guess it's just the fact that one did what they were told to do, and one did not do what they were told to do. It's pretty simple. I don't understand a lot of the situation because we're not told very much about it, so we have to kind of do some lessons of implication here. In Genesis chapter 4, and we'll kind of go through the story here at the beginning, Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat." So here we see the difference of their two sacrifices. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. I'm sure it took a lot of work to do that. You know, it's not like Cain just threw something together. I've tried to grow stuff before. Royce can tell you he's a good gardener. I can't grow anything. Paul can tell you they do that kind of stuff. Delbert does it. If I plant it, I'm going to kill it. I realize it must be very difficult to try to grow everything from the ground. And I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine a day before HEB. I just can't imagine what it would be like to have to count on your own crops to survive. Let's face it, I'd have been dead a long time ago because it's hard. It's difficult. You have to till and work the ground. And, you know, it's not like Cain just put together something sorry and easy. I mean, it was a good sacrifice. It just wasn't what was required. It just wasn't what was spoken of by God. Abel, at the same time, brought of the firstborn of his flock. I don't know anything about raising animals. It's all I can do to keep my cats alive. John might be able to tell you, because he's dealt with raising livestock, and it's difficult. It's hard. You have to be very aware of what's going on. You've got predators, and you've got disease, and it's a hard life. So both Cain and Abel offered a sacrifice that took some effort. It took some effort for them to get to this point. The problem is, as we read in verse 4, continue verse 4 and verse 5, "The Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering." So no matter what it was, I don't care how hard Cain worked on his sacrifice, it was not respected by the Lord, and Abel's was. So we have some questions. Why did the Lord respect only one sacrifice? Well, the best answer I can give you is there was only one sacrifice that was offered correctly. And so Cain's was not. Abel's is what the Lord wanted, and Cain's was not. So was information given that we are not privy to? The answer is absolutely. We're not told what God said to Cain and Abel. But obviously he had given them some instructions on what he wanted. And he had told them what type of sacrifice that he expected. And so we can get into all sorts of suppositions and ideas and that it took blood and blood was for sin, which is probably correct. But we don't know. We are not privy to that information. I don't know what God said to Cain, nor do I know what God said to Abel. But what I do know is he told them he wanted sacrifice. And Cain didn't do it the way God wanted. And Abel did. And so Abel's sacrifice was accepted, and Cain's sacrifice was rejected. My question is now, is Cain unrighteous at this point? Is Cain unrighteous at this point? Because he offered sacrifice incorrectly. Does that mean Cain's a bad person? Does that mean Cain's a sinner? Does that mean Cain's a horrible human being? No. Cain just messed up. Cain made a mistake. Abel did it right. Cain did it wrong. But let's don't jump on Cain right now. All he did, he tried to do something, and he did it wrong. And that's something that we're going to do all the time. And that's something we're going to do in the church. That's something we're going to do in our own lives. We're going to try to do what's right. And you know what? Sometimes we're going to make a mistake. And sometimes we're going to do it wrong. And sometimes we're going to need to be corrected and fix the problems that we have created. So let's don't jump on Cain yet. We'll have plenty of time to do that later. But at this point, Cain's not unrighteous. He just did something wrong. So Cain, you know what you need to do? You need to fix it. Verse 5. What was Cain's reaction to being rejected by the Lord? Remember, because this is the whole concept of the Cain principle. What do we do when we're corrected? How do we handle correction? And what happened to Cain? Now we can start pointing a finger a little bit at Cain, saying, uh-oh. Because it says, "And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." You ever been around someone that you correct, and the first thing that they do is they automatically turn to anger? It's hard. Hard to believe, but I just wrapped up my 20th year in education. 15 as a teacher, and then the last 5 doing whatever it is that I do. I've wrapped up 20 years in education, and I've worked a lot with kids, and I've worked a lot with teachers, and I've worked a lot with administrators, and it really doesn't make any difference. They all act pretty much the same. There are some people that cannot be corrected, and I'm afraid it's getting worse because we've come from a society now where everybody is right. We like to worry a lot about everybody's feelings and their self-esteem, and everybody gets a trophy, and everybody gets a certificate. And the last thing people want to do is tell somebody that they're wrong and correct them. We don't want to hurt their feelings. And so we have this society now that they always think they're right. And then we give them a forum, such as Facebook. Or we give them a forum, such as a blog. And anyone and everyone suddenly becomes an expert on anything they want to talk about. And they're always right. Some people get angry. That's what came. You try to correct some people, they don't like to hear it, not one little bit. That's the idea behind the Cain principle. So I'm going to tell you right now, we will all face times where we either have to correct someone or we're going to be corrected ourselves. And this lesson is going to focus on B. What happens when we are corrected? That's a whole other lesson, eh? That's a whole other lesson. How do you correct people? That's a whole another direction we could take, because there are certain ways to correct people. And if you do it with a sense of condescension, if you do it with a sense of enjoyment that you're correcting someone, you will not be successful in trying to get them to change their ways. It is just flat out not going to happen. So we're going to focus on this lesson this morning, though, on what happens when we are corrected. Because I'm telling you, folks, it's going to happen. How do people respond to correction? If, I want you to think about this hypothetical situation, if Cain had handled things differently, he could have been counted as righteous as well. We'd be talking about righteous Abel and righteous Cain. If he would have handled correction appropriately, but he did not. He did not handle the correction well. He got mad about it, he got angry about it, and as the story goes, he couldn't handle it. He just could not handle the situation. Let's talk about correction a little bit. I want you to know correction is a natural part of Christianity. So we've got to kind of take a second here, and I want you to understand this. There are times that we're going to be sitting in the audience, and we are going to be offended by something the preacher says, if the preacher is worth his salt. It's going to happen because we're not perfect. We are not perfect people. We make mistakes. We do things that are wrong. And if the preacher or the teacher up there in front of the pulpit is doing what they are supposed to be doing, and teaching what they're supposed to be teaching, there are some times that we're going to go, oh, I think he's talking to me. And we're going to get upset about it. And we're going to get corrected because we're not doing things properly. I want to think about what the Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice the words I highlighted here. Reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. We are going to get corrected. There are times that we're going to be doing something that's not right, and someone's going to come in and from the Scripture say, this is what the Bible says. How do we handle that correction? Do we get mad like Cain did? Do we get angry? I can't believe that. I mean, I guess that's an option. But if we do, we're going to follow the same path as Cain. We have to understand that we are going to make mistakes. So let's take it out of the realm of Christianity, though. It's a part of marriage. It's a natural part of marriage. Husbands, you're going to mess up. Wives, you're going to mess up. And there's going to be time that you're going to get corrected. And we're going to realize we made a mistake. How do you handle it? Do we get mad? When we know we're wrong, do we get mad? Do we turn off and come into a shell? What do? It's a natural part of parenthood. I'm going to tell you. My oldest is only 13. I got a long way to go. And you make a lot of mistakes. As parents, you make a lot of mistakes with your kids. And sometimes you get caught on it. Sometimes you get corrected on it. And sometimes I'll snap at somebody and then I'll get the look from Megan and I'll get corrected because that wasn't the right way to handle it. Well, what do I do? How do we handle correction? Do we get mad about it? Do we shut down? Do we pout? How do we handle correction? It's a natural part of employment. We're going to get corrected. And I think about the old Johnny Cash song that talked about the foreman that he didn't like, that had a little crew cut, and he just couldn't wait till the day that he retired. And as soon as he retired, he punched him in the nose. He just couldn't handle that guy. Because we're always going to have that boss that likes to strut around and looking for something and likes to correct us. I was watching a show the other day. The boss had set up a suggestion box. And he said he was so excited to be able to look at this suggestion box and look at all of the constructive compliments that had been given to him. And I don't think constructive compliments is what we get. It's constructive criticism. He didn't want to hear about criticism. He wanted constructive compliments. He wanted to be told how good he was. Employment is like that. Because there's always someone who's in charge, and there's always someone that has to follow, and nobody likes to get called into the office. Nobody likes to have to deal with that supervisor and get corrected because we turned in the wrong form, or we turned in the form late, or we did it incorrectly. We didn't sign this paper, and then you have to listen to the lecture. Nobody likes that. But how do we handle that correction? I'm telling you, correction is just a natural part of life because we're not perfect. We are not perfect, and we're going to make mistakes. So let's talk about the Cain principle. When faced with correction, people can react in a variety of ways. This is not an all-inclusive list. I came up with 10. So you can add some to it if you would like. This is what I've come up with. Remember, this is based on 20 years of dealing with school kids pretty much. But here's 10 ways people can react to correction. They get mad. Angry. Exactly what Cain did. He got mad. And so you try to correct some kid, boy, they just, how dare you tell me I'm wrong? Some people do it. Blame. Oh, that's a good one. Somebody makes a mistake, you correct them, and they instantly try to blame it on someone else. And that would happen in the Garden of Eden. What happened? Adam, what are you doing? Well, the woman told me to eat. And so you instantly try to blame on somebody else instead of accepting the correction. People do that even today. It happens all the time. Deflection. Oh, I love deflection. Deflection. You watch Judge Judy. You'll see that all the time when people get corrected on Judge Judy. The idea of deflection is you get corrected on something, and all of a sudden, they'll try to take it off of them, take the spotlight off of them, and bring something up completely off to try to get you off track. For example, you'll get onto a kid in classroom, and you'll correct them and say, I want you to move desk. And then they'll say, well, you didn't make Johnny move desk when he threw the pencil. And this has nothing to do with Johnny. I told you to move. But that's deflection, where you try to deflect what's going on in your life, and you try to move the attention to somebody else. Happens all the time. Deflection normally has a phrase that goes with it. That's not fair. And that's normally the phrase that goes with deflection. Don't talk about what I've done wrong. Don't try to correct me. Let's look at somebody else and what they did wrong, and it's not fair that you treated them differently than me. So deflection is pretty common. What about embarrassment? Some people try to correct, it shuts them down. They get embarrassed because they're being told that they're wrong and they just can't handle it and they shut themselves down completely. Ignore. That's a good one. Some people you try to correct and they just don't listen to you. They don't care. They're flat out not going to listen to you. And you can correct all you want to, and it doesn't matter. They're not going to listen to you. Lie. Oh, that's a good one. A lot of people, when they get caught on the carpet, their first reaction is to lie. Ananias and Sapphira. I remember that story. Remember how the apostle came in, kind of caught it up. Did you sell this, your land for all this money? Yes, we did. Boom, we did. Their first reaction was to lie when they were caught on the carpet. And so a lot of people, when they get corrected, they are going to try to lie their way out of it. Some are going to pout. They're going to get their feelings hurt, and they're going to swell up like a toad, as my dad used to say. And they're going to get all upset, and they're going to pout, And they're going to get mad, and they're going to sit in their desk, and they're not going to do any work because they're mad. That's what happens a lot of times. Some like to whine. And all of a sudden, they start complaining about anything and everything, and start bringing up things from 2, 3, 4 years ago, if need be. They don't like to be corrected, so they'll try to whine their way out of it. Justify. What justify means is they're corrected. And instead of saying, "You're right," they will try to tell you why they did what they did. They'll try to justify their suggestion. And so you get on to them by coming in, they're late for work. And instead of saying, "Yes, I was late for work," they try to justify. "Well, what happened was, see, I was driving on the road in this car." I don't care. You were late. And instead of listening to their justification, you just want them to accept. Unfortunately, that last one doesn't happen very often. Very few people accept criticism and accept correction the first time it's given. I wish they did. Life would be a whole lot easier if people just accept what someone is trying to teach them. So there's 10 ideas of the Cain principle. How do we react to correction? Oftentimes, there's a combination of reactions. And we'll try to put several of these together. And you'll see that. I'm going to give you a good example from Cain. And also, we also like to find allies a lot of times. So whether we're talking about the church, because it happens in the church, or we're talking about our office building, and we're talking about our classrooms, or we're talking even about a family, somebody gets corrected, they kind of get a little bit upset. And so then they go find somebody else that also got corrected, and they kind of form them a little partnership. And then they'll go find somebody else that's also been the same thing. Next thing you know, you have an alliance. And I don't know what's bigger than an alliance, but the next thing, maybe you have a clique. And the next thing you know, you've got this whole little group over here that they're all kind of back and forth, biting about what was said, because they all got corrected about the same thing. You know what? There have been a lot of churches that have split up over things like that. Not necessarily doctrinal issues, but they got upset, they got corrected, they didn't like what they heard, and so they found a bunch of people that believed like they did and were also acting like they were, and next thing you know, churches get split up. What a shame that is. I'm going to go to my world of football real quick. I don't know if you can see this. This is a lesson from the Kansas City Chiefs. This was put up in their locker room. They were having some problems. One year they were losing a lot. It said, "Losers assemble in small groups and complain about the coaches and other players. Winners assemble as a team and find ways to win." I think that's true in everything. I think that's true in the church. I think that's true in work. I think that's true in relationships. I think that's true in schools. I think that's true everywhere. Losers like to get together and feel sorry for themselves and whine and complain. And winners say, "Well, let's figure out the problem and let's go on and let's fix it." That's the idea of the Cain principle. So how did Cain react? How did Cain react to the fact that his sacrifice was not accepted while his brother Abel's was? How did Cain react? So we've got like 10 options now. Did Cain accept it and say, "You're right, Lord, I did wrong. Let me fix it"? I wish he did. That's not what he said. Genesis 4, verse 5, "And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen?'" He could see it on his face. He just had that look upon his face. He was angry. Lord continued, If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." It says, if you do right, if you just fix it, life will be good. Did you ever realize that Cain was given the opportunity to fix his mistake? He made a mistake. He offered the wrong sacrifice. He offered in a wrong way. His sacrifice was not accepted, whatever the case. He was given an opportunity to fix it. The Lord said, "Listen, if you do right, it'll be accepted." But Cain wasn't willing to do that. Fact of the matter is, God wanted Cain to do right. Cain just chose not to. So we know he's angry. We know he's mad. There's one of them. He's got anger. Verse 8, "Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother." Boy, I wonder what that discussion was about. I wish we had insight to that discussion, but we don't. "Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." There's anger. And that's not just anger. That's not just getting mad. When it gets to the point that you would take the life of your own brother, that's just uncontrolled rage. But that's how Cain handled it. Cain handled his correction by getting angry. Verse 9, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? Oh, he knew. What did he say? I don't know. I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? So what did Cain do now? He got anger and he lied. Very common. Same kind of thing you're going to get in today. You find somebody and you correct them. Half the time they're going to try to lie their way out of it. That's not the way it happened. I didn't do it. I don't know. It wasn't me. It was the other guy. And it's just constant instead of trying to assume responsibility. So many people will lie. So the Lord goes on to talk about the punishment that he's going to receive. Verse 13. But Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. What's that sound like? Whine, 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 whine. You're going to do this to me and you have done this. It's also got a little bit of what we would call deflection. This Lot, or not Lot, excuse me, is Cain assuming any responsibility whatsoever? No, he's blaming God for everything. You have driven me out this day. I'm going to be a vagrant. I'm going to be a vagabond, and it's all your fault. Whine, 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 whine. So what did Cain do? Let's say he got mad. He let his anger get out of control. Then he tried to lie about it. Then he tried to deflect his responsibility and blame everything on God and try to change the subject a little bit. And then he whined and talked about how bad his life was going to be, and it was just everybody else's fault but his. When we face correction, it's important to consider a few things. And if Cain had done this, this story could have turned out very, very differently. But Cain chose not to. Number one, who's doing the correcting? So think about the church. If we have a preacher, or we have a teacher, or a respected, well-versed member of the congregation correcting us, we better take that into account. We better take into account their motives and what they're trying to accomplish. And you better put a little more respect on something like that than some knucklehead off the street who's ranting about something on Facebook. You know, that kind of correction or criticism shouldn't carry the same amount as if a member of the Lord's church who is worried about our soul has something to say to us, we might all listen. So we need to consider who's doing the correcting, and number two, what's the source of the correction. And so whether we like it or not, if we're doing something wrong, and we start reading the Bible, and we start quoting chapter and verse, we better consider the source of the correction. And it might upset us a little bit, but we shouldn't be like Cain and get angry. We shouldn't pout. We shouldn't get upset. We shouldn't try to find allies. All of that list of all those negative things to do, we shouldn't do that if the source is from the Word of God. Because that's the standard that we're going to be held accountable to. And number three, what is our reaction to the correction? What are we going to do? How are we going to respond to this correction? Because I'm telling you, we are going to make mistakes. And the Bible is very clear about that. 1 John 1 and 9 is probably one of the most comforting verses in the Bible, though. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we are no longer unrighteous, then that means we must be righteous. And we can carry the same phrase of righteous Abel. But if we don't do these things, if we don't accept correction, if we don't ask for forgiveness, if we pretend like we're always right and we don't listen to those when they try to help us, unrighteous. That's a scary thought. Let me give you a biblical comparison. I'm going to read from Galatians, the second chapter. I don't have the verses here, so if you have your Bibles out, if you want to turn to Galatians chapter 2, I'm going to give you an example. Galatians 2, I'm going to read through verses 11 through 16 as we bring our lesson to a close. Let me give a comparison to what happens when people accept things the right way and accept criticism. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul's writing, the Apostle Paul. He says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, and he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Who are we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ? Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Gets into a complicated synopsis, I guess you would say, of the problem that Peter was having. Well, let's just cut right to the chase. When Jews were around, Jewish Christians, Jewish converts, Peter kind of slid over to the side and hung out with the Jewish Christians. And he left the Gentiles there. When they left, Peter would come back to the Gentiles. And the Gentile Christians, and he would deal with them. He'd be a hypocrite. He'd be a hypocrite. Now I want you to think about this. Can you imagine the embarrassment that the Apostle Peter had to accept when Apostle Paul corrected him? It's one thing to get corrected by somebody out in the street. It's one thing to get corrected as much as, I said, as much respect as we have from someone in the church, if someone were to correct us. Now, that'd be devastating, I think. As much respect as I have for Ronnie Wade and Carl Johnson, can you imagine being corrected by a preacher and say, you were doing something wrong, and here's why? But doesn't that all pale in comparison to being corrected by the Apostle Paul? Can you imagine how Peter must have felt? But he was wrong. So my question is, how did Peter respond to this correction? Did he get angry? Did he get hateful towards Paul? Was their relationship ruined beyond repair? Did the church suffer because of this rift between Peter and Paul? Absolutely not. A couple years later, Peter writes this in 2 Peter chapter 3. And just kind of look, instead of reading the whole passage, just look at what we have bolded here. Peter says, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to you, has written to you. Does that sound like Peter is holding a grudge against Paul? Does that sound like Peter hates Paul? No. Peter accepted his correction, and he did not do what Cain did. He accepted it. And then here some years later, he's still talking about Paul in great flowing terms and kept the church together. Because there could have been a big split. There could have been problems if Peter and Paul had not been able to get along as far as the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. Things would have never, ever worked out. But Peter accepted his correction. So in conclusion, we're all going to have to hand out or accept correction as part of life. So this morning we've kind of talked about what it means to accept correction. And we have different choices for what we can do. We can accept things however we want to. We can get angry. We can try to blame everybody else for the mistakes that we make. We can try to deflect it and get the spotlight off of us and get to thinking about something else. We can get embarrassed and sad and pout about it. We can just ignore whatever we hear. We can lie. We can whine. We can try to justify the things that we do. Whatever we want to do, we have that option. But you know what the best option is? Accept it. Accept the correction and do what is right. Fix the problems that we have. So how do we handle it? I hope we accept it. I hope we accept correction for what it is and that we make ourselves better from it and we learn from our mistakes so we don't continue them. We're given a chance to fix our mistakes. Do we take advantage? Yeah, we're all going to mess up. Cain could have fixed his mistake. All he had to do was fix the sacrifice and he would have been counted righteous as well. But he chose not to. And now look where things have gone. And I'm going to ask you one final question. How do we want to be remembered? When it's all said and done with, how do you want to be remembered? Do we want to be remembered like Cain? 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. Do we want that to be sketched on our tombstone? That Cain, the wicked one, of the wicked one and murdered his brother. Or do we want to be remembered as Abel? Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Do we want to be remembered as unrighteous Cain? Or do we want to be remembered as righteous Abel? And therein lies the Cain principles. How do we respond to correction? Never like to close with all self without having a song of invitation. If there's any who need the help of the church,
you can reach the system just now.